Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to the Blitz Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Gallo, joined by Harley Schultz for lucky number week 13 as teams prepare to make the playoffs. Harley, this weekend was kind of like a Halloween massacre on the fantasy front.
Yes, it was. And, you know, last week was week 12, this week's week 13. I would say that last week was a bit of a mixture of both luck and unluck for me. I had a very good Thanksgiving day in terms of profitability. But come Sunday, a lot of my key plays were injured early on in games, causing me to deflate considerably. Let's put it this way. It was like eating some leftovers that had been left out sitting a little too long.
Well, that's no fun. That's no fun. But yes, did you have a good you did have a good Thanksgiving, though?
Yeah, it's a good Thanksgiving. I had a good time. It was nice to see my folks again for a period of time. Those more than like say 5 minutes in passing for the first time really since COVID started. So
gotcha.
We got to that, and now because this is one of the last few weeks before my wife gets into her busy time of year, we're planning a additional trip down to Kansas City this coming weekend. Unfortunately, we won't be in town when the game starts because they flexed it from the afternoon to the evening, but we'll be listening to it on the way home, I'm sure.
However, look at the bright side here, because I know you're a Kansas City fan. The fact that it got flexed says Kansas City's kind of back, right?
Yeah, and they're facing off against the hated Broncos, and Denver's kind of – and they've got a good defense. I'll give them that, but their offense is kind of in a quandary right now. Teddy Bridgewater continues to struggle. He got hurt last week. They put in Drew Lock. Drew Lock didn't look any better. So
back to the bridge. Yeah, I got you. So, you know, I said back to the bridge. I'm going to just go to our bridge right now, and that bridge is throwing it over to Harley for this week's Blitz Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Christian McCaffrey was lost for the season to an ankle injury. This can be considered the death knell to anyone who to this point had survived his previous injury absences. His owners are happy about one thing, though. They don't have to scream at their televisions anymore when Cam Newton vultures his touchdowns. Delvin Cook will likely miss a few weeks with a dislocated shoulder. So, yeah, about those first-round running back picks. McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry. Ugh, I haven't had this much indigestion since watching that Detroit-Chicago game on Thursday. Speaking of injured first-round running backs, rumors came out this weekend that the Cowboys were considering resting Ezekiel Elliott on Thursday versus New Orleans because of his knee injury. Apparently, Zeke didn't get enough rest the first few months of the year when he was basically splitting touches with Tony Pollard. Oh, yeah, he didn't get enough rest on his Week 7 bye week. He didn't get enough rest this entire offseason, and he didn't get any rest the entire preseason when he didn't play a single down. DeAndre Swift joins the injured first-round running back carousel with a shoulder injury of his own. At least when Detroit loses this week, he will be able to claim that it wasn't his fault. And finally, a little personal news. For the first time in history, I opened the Uline catalog that I seem to get sent every single month despite having never ordered anything from them over the past 20 years. I immediately placed an order for an industrial-sized roll of bubble wrap, which I had Amazon Prime Express shipped to Najee Harris and Jonathan Taylor. This has been your BPN News Update.
Isn't that the truth?
Does anyone actually order anything out of the Uline catalog?
I'm guilty. I've actually purchased.
You're guilty, okay.
But I don't get the Uline catalog, but I've purchased from Uline. There you go. How's that, actually?
Okay. No, seriously. I mean, the catalog has got to be at least 500 pages long, and I get at least one. Sometimes I get multiples in the mail sent to my home address because I operate my business out of our home here. At least once a month I get the damn catalog, and most of the time it goes directly into the recycling bin.
So, true story, I didn't buy any from them, but they actually do have N95 masks for sale also. So,
I might have to start shopping there, I guess. I don't know.
their prices weren't too bad. I was able to pick them up somewhere else, so, but they do. They carry them. Initially, they were making it to where you had to be somebody that had purchased them in the past to buy them when the pandemic first started and there was a shortage everywhere. But then they've since loosened
them up. Will these new ones, will they be good against the new Megatron variant?
Yeah, I believe so. So here's the other thing. You know what? Well, let's talk about masks real quick. Because there's face masks, right? And there's COVID masks. A lot of people we know are on both sides. It's very polarizing, right? So just like a first round running back is a different value than a seventh round running back, there's the same kind of difference with masks, right? Just your regular everyday mask, that doesn't have the same protection that a medical mask has. A medical mask doesn't have the same protection that an N95 mask has. And an N95 means it filters out 95% of certain amount of micron size particles, right? So 5% can still get through. The best one, the king of the heap, the King Henry when he's not hurt, the CMC when he's not hurt, is the N100 or the P100. And what a lot of people may not know is the difference is a P100 is an oil-proof mask, and the N100 is not oil-proof.
Well, I don't think I've ever had a chance to wear an N100. I know back in my staging days, I did have the pleasure of wearing an N95 mask a few times because there's a lot of just greasy, disgusting, dusty, moldy crud that I had to deal with on a regular basis. Let's just put it this way. If it ever comes down to them like dissecting my lungs, I'm sure they'll find some black crud in there from those days.
And for what it's worth, I've worn masks for probably 20, 25 years of my life because I have asthma. And when I cut grass, it obliterates me. So I've worn masks when I've cut grass and stuff like that. So it wasn't really something that I had to get used to. I kind of been used to it a little bit. But they did become hard to find. But I did some research, and that's how I knew the difference between the N95s and the N100s, the P100s. And then the KN number, that just means it came from China and it's not made in the United States.
Well, and so here's the thing. I think going into the season, we all were concerned about what effect COVID would have on our fantasy rosters. But again, if you wasted a first-round pick on a running back this year, again, if you didn't take Najee or Jonathan Taylor, you're probably regretting it quite heavily at this point.
Or Austin Eckler.
Yeah, Austin Eckler is kind of the end of the first round, but even he's gotten a few touchdowns recently, but his yardage numbers the last 4 or 5 weeks have been very minuscule.
Yeah, very true. I pretty much have ownership in all those guys that have lost except for Henry, but, you know, he neither here nor there. So anyway, let's set the table for this week since we're sitting here talking about the better masks and the different types of masks. You know what? There's playoff schedules and there's different playoff schedules that will benefit you versus hurt you for the fantasy playoffs. Playoffs? If I say playoffs one more time, pull up Jim Mora. Anyway.
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs. Playoffs.
That's the segment we're going to do before we get into our DFS segment. And Harley's going to drive the bus for the beginning of this. And I've got a couple little tidbits I may chime in because this year is a little different. It's an 18-week schedule versus 17. We used to, most people I would say, have their fantasy championships in week 16 to avoid the week 17, what do you want to call it, death trap of players that don't play because, you know, they're sitting out resting for their own playoffs. This year I know that there's a mix. There's leagues that have pushed their playoffs out an extra week, and they're starting them in week 15, 16, 17, and not having them in 18. I also know there are some leagues where they decide to stay status quo, starting their playoffs in week 14, running at 14, 15, 16, and then 17 and 18 are not going to count for their fantasy season. So we'll try to help both those scenarios.
Yep, and in effect, there actually are still some leagues. I know ESPN likes to do this. They'll have things go all the way through the end of the season. So in some leagues, you may even have players going in week 17 and 18 as well.
True. Very true. So get us
started. Well, let's start off with your favorite position. How about quarterbacks?
Yeah, okay.
It's one of those situations where if you didn't spend a high pick on a quarterback, you've probably been spending most of the season streaming guys, because much like running back, there seems like there's been a fair amount of turnover at the quarterback position, be it all the rookies that came in this year, in addition to a couple of key injuries early on this season. So here are the six teams. I didn't do a comprehensive breakdown of every single game, but six teams whose schedules look fairly innocent for passing quarterbacks going into the playoffs. And for me, I did this with the playoffs being weeks 15, 16, 17, possibly 18. But as you mentioned, obviously, there are some leagues that are going to use week 14 as well. As teams, the NFC East teams, Philadelphia and Dallas. Philadelphia gets Washington twice, the Giants, and Dallas. Now, Washington obviously is very, very bad against the pass. The Giants are mediocre against pass. Dallas, the one team on their schedule that has been fairly decent against the pass, is in week 18, so it's less likely to affect them. Now, the thing that Philadelphia is going against them is that three of those four games are likely to be outside, so you have potential weather issues there. Dallas, on the other hand, they're at the Giants, then they're at home versus Washington and Arizona, and then they're at Philadelphia for week 18. Now, again, the Giants and Philly outside could be weather condition issues, but Dak Prescott is certainly capable of playing through the weather. And again, that there is three easy matchups with Philadelphia, Washington, and the Giants, and one moderately hard matchup with the Arizona Cardinals in week 17, which, again, in a lot of leagues is going to be your fantasy championship week. Yeah. A couple of under the – oh, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say there's a couple of under-the-radar teams that might be worth using their quarterbacks in. Andy Dalton in Chicago gets Minnesota in week 15. They're at Seattle. They're with home versus the Jets. I'm sorry, at home versus the Giants, and then at Minnesota for the final game. The Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence get Houston at home. Then they're on the road at the Jets. They're on the road at New England, which is not an easy game. But then they're back home in week 18 against Indianapolis if you're facing an 18 championship game. And then there's two good teams in Pittsburgh and Arizona that have very good matchups. Pittsburgh starts out at home week 15 versus Tennessee. Week 16, they're at Kansas City, which could be some weather conditions there. Week 17, they're at home for Cleveland, which, again, could be some weather. And week 18, they're at Baltimore, which could be weather there as well. But you have four decent four less than decent passing defenses to go with. And Arizona is actually my favorite against the passes in the playoffs. They start off in week 15 at Detroit. Then they go and face Indianapolis at home, so there shouldn't be any weather conditions there for Arizona. Week 17, they're at home versus Dallas, who, again, we talked about a little bit, they're better defense, but again, it's going to be good weather conditions. And finally, week 18 is also at home versus Seattle, a bad pass defense by all stretches of the imagination. So Arizona's my favorite team. So again, teams, there's a good chance that Kyler Murray might come back this week. But if you're looking at a team and they're in a must-win situation, there's any chance that Murray doesn't play this week, now might be the time to pounce, go get him, offer them a quarterback that's going to help them win this week. Because Arizona, I think, has the best schedule of any of the passing quarterbacks down the stretch.
Yep, so that's what I was going to chime in. And I figured you were talking about the NFC East, and the Eagles are part of that, but then let you finish. So Philly's on a bye in week 14. And Jalen Hurts has been otherworldly, or he's been, and that's actually, he's been otherworldly. Otherworldly good and otherworldly bad. Right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So if you truly feel like you think that he's going to have one heck of a good otherworldly close to his season, then look at that owner. And if there's somebody that needs a win and they don't really have much behind him, that might be where you can make that deal for, you know, a guy, because playoffs are going to start in week 15 and they're off in week 14. I'm sorry. They're off in week 14. And, you know, they need to get to the playoffs in week 15 for 15, 16, 17 type thing. So I just, that's a chance where you may be able to take advantage of the fact that the playoffs are later and there's a team that's off during that time frame.
And now might be the time to pounce, too, because he's coming off one of his worst games of the season.
Correct.
Okay, so there's actually three interesting teams with miserable schedules to end the season, and it impacts some fairly key fantasy quarterbacks. The least of those three being Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is at home versus New England. Very tough matchup. They're on the road in Arizona. Very tough matchup. They're at home versus the Raiders, who have played badly lately but started the season very good against the pass. And they finished the season at Jacksonville, who are surprisingly a top 10 team against the pass so far this year. Then there's two key contributors with bad playoff schedules. Tampa Tom Brady. He gets to host New Orleans and Marshawn Lattimore in week 15. Then they travel to Carolina, and Carolina's been elite against the pass all season long. They face off at the Jets in week 17, your championship game, which is a moderate game from a positive standpoint for Tampa Bay, because it's still Tampa Bay versus the Jets. But again, look back at this past week. They could have thrown the ball at will this past week. They chose not to. They ran the ball, and Fournette had a big game against Indianapolis. You have to think that against the Jets in that game, they'll probably be running the ball a lot too. And lastly, they finish up the season week 18 at home versus Carolina. I already mentioned Carolina is very tough to throw the ball against. And finally, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, my team. Patrick Mahomes got a tough schedule to face down the stretch. Week 15, they're facing the Los Angeles Chargers on the road. Then they host Pittsburgh, who obviously haven't been playing their best, but they've also been a little shorthanded. Sounds like they've got back both Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joe Hayden now from their various injuries and illnesses. Week 17, they've got a sneaky tough game at Cincinnati. And then finally, if you play in week 18, they're at Denver, and Denver's very good against the pass. So, again, you're not going to bench Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, but know for a fact that those two are not going to have a cakewalk to the playoffs.
No, but what you can do is you can find those teams that look like they're struggling to make the playoffs, and you've got name recognition, right? Trade Tom Brady, trade Patrick Mahomes to help solidify other spots for yourself. And maybe it is only a second tier or third tier person, but if you're that good of a team, that's what you're looking to solidify. So that then you don't back yourself into the corner to feeling you have to start those guys, knowing they have bad matchups coming up.
Exactly. Let's roll on over to the running back position. Now, at the running back position, there are five teams that I feel have really good schedules going down the stretch. And a couple of these are kind of sneaky. We've got Houston. Now, determining who's going to be the lead back there every week, whether it be Rex Burkhead or David Johnson or whomever they pick up off the scrap heap, is going to be a tough call. I think David Johnson's got like 30 touches in the last 2 weeks, so he's kind of become the main ball carrier, which makes a lot of sense because, I mean, they traded DeAndre Hopkins for him. But here's their schedule in the playoffs weeks 15 through 18. At Jacksonville, facing the awful Los Angeles Chargers run defense. They're at San Francisco in a slightly tougher game in week 17, but then they get to finish off the season week 18 against Tennessee at home. None of those four is an awful game, and three of those four are very, very good. The Denver Broncos, we still are dealing with the split backfield there too with Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, but they got a nice schedule going down the stretch. They've got Cincinnati at home. Then they face the Raiders in Las Vegas, follow that up with the easy Chargers in Los Angeles, and finally they finish the season at home versus Kansas City. And San Francisco, Elijah Mitchell is back healthy now. Everyone else is hurt, so the chances of Shanahanigans go out the window a little bit as long as Mitchell stays healthy. They face Atlanta, then they travel to Tennessee, and they get Houston in week 17. The only tough game that they've got is in week 18 at the Rams. But if your league ends in week 17, those three games alone there with Eli Mitchell running the ball behind that offensive line are juicy. And then, of course, there's my two favorite run. I have two favorite running back matchups this season going forward, that being the Washington football team and the Chicago Bears. The Bears are at home versus Minnesota, at Seattle, at home versus the Giants, and at Minnesota. And Washington gets two games against Philly, one at home, one on the road. They're at Dallas, and they face the Giants in week 18. Four teams that you can run against.
So, there's a guy who does not have that great of a schedule, but if your league has the playoffs in week 14, and that owner needs to win to move on, or your playoffs start in 15 and they need a win to get in, Jonathan Taylor makes a fantastic guy to target. Now, he's going to face in week 15 the Patriots, 16 the Cardinals in Arizona, 17 the Raiders, and then week 18 at Jacksonville. You're talking 21, 15, 30, 12. That's where those teams rank. So they're not fantastic numbers. But guess what? Jonathan Taylor is probably better than your running back two that you're running out. And a zero for a team trying to make the playoffs, if you can give them an upgrade at running back with a running back two and a wide receiver that you can afford to get rid of for depth to share, to it's worth doing something like that. Another running back that I like to target with that same idea where the team needs to make the playoffs, he's got one great game for you that would start the playoffs, and he's got a couple not so great. But you know what? When you can get somebody in your lineup in the playoffs that has a fantastic matchup, like against the best defense to face for a running back, Miles Gaskin's probably a guy that you can get relatively inexpensively. And he faces the Jets in week 15. You probably would not want to use him week 16 against the Saints in New Orleans or week 17 against the Titans. But like I said, you can probably get him relatively cheaply because that team's going to need a running back to replace him to try and make the playoffs. And just gives yourself some options, I should say.
I really wanted to include Miles Gaskin in my rankings here for this because I've got him in a few leagues myself, but I am very, very much concerned about the first game usage from Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to be a factor down the stretch. And obviously Gaskin has been getting the rock. He's been getting the touches despite not putting up a lot of yardage this season. But again, if the rubber ends up meeting the road and Miami starts looking and saying, well, okay, we're not going to make it this season, let's start looking to next season, they have no better reason than to not use Gaskin and to go ahead and give Lindsay a try and see what he can do there.
Very, very true. Another guy that you could look at that's got a buy-in with 14 is Damian Harris. He has four matchups that are all on the negative side of being good matchups. But if you're flush at wide receiver and you can toss that in a running back three to that owner, and that way if something happens, you know at least he's getting some volume. That might be something that you might want to look to do, but he's probably my least favorite of the ones I would target with week 14 buys.
Without going into too much detail, I'll just give a quick rundown of some of the running backs that you might want to get rid of. Atlanta, if you're still riding the tails of Mike Davis or Kadri Allison, you can go ahead and dump those guys because their schedule gets brutal against the running back going forward, the exception being week 16 versus Detroit, but the other three games in their playoffs that are very, very bad. The Raiders, if you've been trusting Josh Jacobs, his schedule gets laughably hard weeks 15, 16, and 17 before an easy game in week 18 against the Chargers. Cincinnati, Joe Mixon has been white hot, but for the playoffs, he's facing at Denver, at home versus Baltimore, the KC Chiefs, who have been very good since week 5, and at Cleveland in week 18. Seattle, there's some question marks about who's going to be the running back going forward there, if it's going to be Alex Collins, if it's going to be DJ Dallas, or some combination thereof. They've got a brutal schedule. Again, three tough games, and then Detroit snuck in there for making it look a little easier than it actually is. Baltimore gets Green Bay, who is an easier game to start the playoffs, but then they're at Cincinnati versus the Rams, and they finish the season with Pittsburgh. And I talked a little earlier about how Tom Brady's schedule is tough against the pass. Fournette's schedule against the run isn't that much easier. They've got Carolina twice. They've got the New Orleans Saints. And their one salvo is week 17 at on the road against the Jets. But the worst schedule for running back in the playoff setup is Carolina, who start off week 15 at Buffalo. Then they face Tampa Bay at home. Week 17, they're at New Orleans. And week 18, they're on the road versus Tampa Bay. So four teams that you wouldn't have wanted to start Christian McCaffrey against, but you would have been forced to because he's Christian McCaffrey. Now you have every reason in the world to not start Chuba Hubbard or Ameer Abdullah against any of those four teams.
Yep, very, very well put. All right, want to move over to the
wide receiver?
Yep, let's do it.
There are five teams that I really like the wide receivers of. Not so strangely enough, a lot of them match up with the quarterback matchings. Pittsburgh being one of them, who have, again, Minnesota, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Cleveland down the stretch. San Francisco, kind of a sneaky one for wide receivers. We're going to probably be without Deebo Samuel for the next couple of weeks, but they've got Brandon Ayuk. They've got the youngsters Trent Sherfield and John Jennings, who are both decent pickups this week, I think. They've got Atlanta. They're at Tennessee, Houston, and their only tough game is week 18 at the Rams. Chicago, I mentioned earlier, against the pass is very, very good. Arizona's got the best matchup for wide receivers down the stretch at Detroit in the Dome, at home in the warmth of Arizona versus Indianapolis, at Dallas in covered dome, and at home versus Seattle. So great matchups there. And the sneaky team for wide receivers, I've been kind of pushing from a daily fantasy standpoint, playing guys like Josh Reynolds and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Detroit's got a pretty nice schedule for wide receivers going down the stretch. Bit of a tricky one in week 15 against Arizona at home, but then they're at Atlanta, at Seattle, no weather conditions in either of those two games, and obviously the two home games, Arizona and then Green Bay in week 18, they're at home in a dome, so they don't have to worry about any weather conditions there either.
So one of my favorite targets at the wide receiver spot is a guy who's going to be off in week 14, okay? So I guess you're seeing a trend here for me. He, in the playoffs, faces a top 13 team in points allowed to the wide receiver position, then a top 5, and then a top 2 in what should be the semis and finals for most fantasy leagues. And if you do go to week 18, forget it. He's got a horrible matchup. Faces like a top 29 defense. And I think that you can get him for a relatively fair deal. I'm not going to say cheap, but a fair deal. Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Again.
Well, nice thing about Jalen Waddle that I really like is that he is clearly Tua Tagovailoa's favorite target.
Yes.
And I don't want to call him a possession receiver because he's so much more than that. I think he's going to be a very, very talented receiver. But he still runs a lot of those short hitch routes, catches the short ball, and he doesn't have a lot. I guess what I'm saying, he doesn't have a lot of air yards.
Right.
But he gets a lot of yards. He gets a lot of receptions. PPR formats, he's really, really nice. Again, he's a great play in DFS. Although the sites are starting to wise up to that now, and he's starting to approach $7,000 on the DFS sites. Not quite as good as it was a couple weeks ago. But yes, I do like Jalen Waddle. And from a fantasy dynasty standpoint, I very much like Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. I mean, and it comes down to, again, check to see if the team that has Waddle needs a win to get in the playoffs. That's where you have to exploit that.
Well, much like with the quarterbacks, again, there's a few teams with tough wide receiver schedules down the stretch. Glossing over really quickly, Seattle's got a tough lineup. They're at the Rams. They get Chicago, and then they get easy Detroit team in week 17, but then they're at Arizona. Houston facing that, again, the number 9 defense at Jacksonville. The Chargers, who are near the top, at San Francisco, and then they get an easy week 18 versus Tennessee. The Vikings have a decent schedule, but not a great schedule, as they have to face Chicago twice and the Rams. Denver is at home versus Cincinnati, at Las Vegas, at the Chargers, and then they face off against KC in week 18. You're already not wanting to play those guys because you don't know what Bridgewater is going to give you week to week. Not a good schedule for the receivers either. Cincinnati, Jamar Chase, got to be a little bit worried. He's going to face at Denver, face Baltimore. They did completely make a fool of Marlon Humphrey in their earlier game. Then they get Kansas City and at Cleveland to end the season. Very, very tough schedule for them. And much like at quarterback, where Mr. Patrick Mahomes has the toughest passing schedule, the Kansas City has the toughest schedule against the wide receivers, so they get to face the Los Angeles Chargers, Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, at Denver. You get three games that could be weather conditions, two of which against premier cornerbacks, a third team up against a great cornerback and a great safety. And Cincinnati has played very good against the pass recently. You got Tyreek Hill. You got to be sweating it a little bit.
Yep, just a little bit.
And lastly, let's roll on the tight end. It's a little bit shorter list here.
You don't say.
Exactly. Mainly because there's not a lot of tight ends you really want to have. But there's five teams that I really like their tight end schedule going down the stretch. And again, two of those teams are in the NFC East. You got New York Giants and Evan Engram. He is at home versus Dallas. They're at Philadelphia. They're at Chicago. And they finish out week 18 at home versus Washington. Got some potential weather conditions in there. But weather is actually a good thing for tight ends, because if you're a tight end, you're going to catch a lot of those shorter passes in bad weather situations. You got Philadelphia. They're at home versus Washington. They're at home versus the Giants. Then they're at Washington. So two games against the Washington Redskins secondary. And they finish out the season at home versus Dallas. Then we get into a couple of sneakier teams. Jacksonville, who just lost Dan Arnold for probably 4 to 6 weeks. But they also just got back James O'Shaughnessy. Now, James O'Shaughnessy might be a sneaky tight end to pick up for down the stretch. Their schedule in the playoffs is Houston at home, at the Jets in week 16. At New England is a tough game in week 17. I don't like him there. But he finishes off the season at home versus Indianapolis week 18. Arizona, they just traded for Zach Ertz a few weeks ago. They're at Detroit, and then they're at home versus Indianapolis, at Dallas, and on the road in Seattle. Four bad secondaries to exploit with the tight end position there. And, of course, my favorite tight end situation, he's returning tonight on Monday Night Football, Logan Thomas, or as I like to call him, Low T, for Washington football team, at Philadelphia, at Dallas, at home versus Philadelphia, and then finishing off the season against the New York football Giants.
Yeah,
hard. That's the gift that keeps on giving there. And you can get Logan Thomas. A lot of teams dropped him.
Yeah.
And because it's the Monday night game, they probably didn't pick him up for this week. So he's going to be a player that you need to go get off the waiver wire, particularly if you had like Darren Waller and he's going to miss a couple weeks possibly. Go get Logan Thomas if he's available. Trade for him if he isn't. He is set for a huge, huge, huge last couple weeks of the season.
And more than likely, the game's going on right now. We're recording on Monday night. His snaps should be limited tonight, so he probably won't be having a huge game tonight. So that should help you to acquire him. But he should be a priority add. So as far as the Week 14 bye teams go, I looked at the tight end situation. There aren't any that I would want to try and take advantage of. The Colts, I mean, who's it going to be week in and week out? Miami, can you really trust Mike Gesicki? I mean, he's had some great days. He's had some horrible games. New England, Hunter Henry, Jonu Smith's coming back now, right?
Yep.
What's the impact there? And in Philadelphia, I wished that you could really rely on Goddard, but even with Hurts, when he was having his good games, Goddard wasn't really producing at the level that you would expect because Jalen was doing so much with his legs. So I'm taking a pass on the Week 14 bye tight ends.
Okay, well, again, we have three tough matchups for the tight ends going forward. Seattle actually has a tough schedule for Gerald Everett, in case anyone actually owns Gerald Everett. You're probably not owned too much in your fantasy leagues, but if he is, at the Rams, at home versus Chicago, a fairly easy game at home versus Detroit in week 17, but then they're at Arizona. And again, 3 years ago, Arizona was the laughing stock of the league against tight ends. Now they're one of the best teams in the league against tight ends. So that's just basically a shutdown game there. Indianapolis, I talked about Wentz earlier and not liking his schedule. They get New England. They're at Arizona. They face the Las Vegas Raiders of Anaheim. And they finish out the season with a decent game at Jacksonville. And, of course, I talked about Tom Brady earlier, so I've got to talk about Rob Gronkowski. Week 15 at home versus New Orleans. Week 16 at Carolina. At week 17 at the Jets. And week 18 at home versus Carolina. Not really a game among those four that you really feel great about playing Gronk.
No. All right. So there you have it. We have armed you with the info you need to succeed, but we can't do it for you. So take a look. You don't always have to win all trades. It could be a win-win, right? That's the whole idea of, hey, I'm set for the playoffs, yes, and you're trying to get in. Let's see what we can do to help each other out. That's not collusion, right? That's trying to improve both your teams. But also, don't make the mistake and make a trade where you're in and you've got somebody else that you think's going to be in, and you go, I'm going to trade them a piece because their piece is going to help me. But then you realize they have just the killer schedule in the playoffs. You don't want to help that team.
Again, though, just to rehash for our listeners, the players that you really need to go get: Kyler Murray, Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, and or Khalil Herbert, Arizona's wide receivers, including the oft-injured DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, maybe even Rondale Moore and A.J. Green, and Washington football team's Logan Thomas at tight end. Players to be wary of: Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Chuba Hubbard, Tyreek Hill, and Rob Gronkowski. Some big names there to be wary of in the playoffs.
And I'd add Jalen Waddle as one of those guys to go get to.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, so that'll do it. And here's the thing. We're now going to transition over to our DFS segment for all of you that have no chance at making the playoffs, like me and a couple of my leagues, unfortunately, this year. DFS may be where it's at for you. So we're here to help and bring you that weekly service. For those of you that may be new and listening.
Like in my team there, I've got Delvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel.
Yeah. I had one. I almost took a screenshot. I had like six players that were out this past week. Yeah.
You know, that same league, I also have Antonio Brown. So
I've got like a league.
Four
with
of
Antonio
my top
Brown
six and, picks are out right now for the.
God, I've got a good share of Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley. So that's been a good, not God. Thank God for DFS. Anyway, Harley and I do not discuss what we're thinking, who we like, who we dislike before we have this segment. We don't do any player talk prior to prep for the show. So this is truly going to be off the cuff. Harley's going to set an over-under, and that over-under will be based on us picking each a pay-up, stay-away, and value play at each of the four positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end.
The line this week is 5.
5. 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, let's see. 5. That means we need 6 for an over. We're going to push. I'm going over. I'm going over. It's a good line.
Whoa, okay.
Going over.
Yeah, no, Vegas actually wanted me to set this at 4, but I went ahead and rounded it up from 4.5 to 5. So I think I don't think we're going to make it this week.
Okay. We'll see. Who's starting off with a quarterback?
I am going to pay up for not the highest priced guy on the quarterback list. I could. The top priced guys aren't too bad this week. I kind of like their matchups in general. But I'm going to pay up for Kirk Cousins, Minnesota at Detroit. With Delvin Cook out, Kirk is going to have to shoulder more of the load for Minnesota. Well, and he only had one passing touchdown against Detroit earlier this year, ironically in a game that also was without Delvin Cook. But in the previous two seasons with Minnesota against Detroit, he's thrown for 11 touchdowns in the four games against that team.
So we don't have a match. I thought we'd have a match here, but I'm not paying up for the most expensive guy either. Of course, I'm staying away from Kyler, not knowing 100% of what you're going to get. I wanted to consider Matthew Stafford, but I landed on a little bit cheaper than Stafford, and I wouldn't mind splitting it because cheaper on one site, more expensive on the other. Tom Brady, who has a hellacious playoff schedule, this may actually be the last good week you can play him. And I think his ownership is going to be low because he didn't have a great game this week, hasn't had a couple good weeks prior to that without, you know, building up big numbers. This week, I like Tom Brady. If I was going to consider somebody else because the FanDuel price for Brady is a little bit higher, then I would have gone to Kirk Cousins.
I did consider Tom Brady, and I'm fairly certain, based on your commentary, that we're not going to have a match at Stay Away. Probably. But when it came down to Tom Brady, I was a little put off by this past week. I had him in a lot of leagues in a situation where he should have gone absolutely bonkers, and he did not. Atlanta can be run against just as easily as they can be passed against.
True.
So I'm a little bit afraid we get more of the same with Leonard Fournette carrying the load there.
I got you. I understand it. Who are you going to stay away from?
That's it. He's not my stay away.
Okay.
But I don't think we're going to match in our stay away. I'm staying away from Matthew Stafford.
So no.
His price tag isn't too horrible. And you know what? Here's the thing. They're at home versus Jacksonville. First off, in this situation, they shouldn't have to throw the ball either. They should be able to run the ball pretty easily against Jacksonville. The Rams offense in general looked better last week with Odell Beckham starting to pick up the playbook a little bit more, but they still aren't quite as well oiled as they were earlier this year. And meanwhile, Jacksonville has quietly done really well against the pass this year. Only one team has allowed fewer passing touchdowns than Jacksonville. And they're allowing an average of only 204 passing yards and one passing touchdown to opposing quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks, despite facing four teams that are likely going to be playoff teams.
So
Jacksonville's getting it done against good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they shut down Josh Allen not too long ago, right?
Yep.
So here's the thing. No, you may have mistook what I said. I don't like Matthew Stafford this week. So I don't disagree with your take on that, honestly. I'm just was pointing out that he hasn't played well of late. I'm staying away from a guy that's priced higher, actually the highest, and that's Lamar Jackson. Had a horrible week this week against the
Browns. He looked bad. He looked really, really bad.
He did. And it's on the road in Pittsburgh. And no, the Steelers are not the same Steelers of old on offense or defense, but they are getting some key pieces back. It's late in the season, which means it could be a weather-type game. This game feels to me like one of those games we saw the other night, actually, where it's going to be a 10-13 or 14-17 at best type of game. And I just don't see Jackson having a big day both passing or rushing the football. So being the most expensive guy on the books, I'll avoid him this week.
Can we talk briefly? What in the hell was Lamar Jackson trying to do, Kentucky-ing the passes all over the place yesterday?
I don't know.
I mean, yes, if you're Patrick Mahomes and you've got Mahomes' arm and moxie, or Aaron Rodgers, maybe you do that. Lamar Jackson doesn't have the arm to be screwing around like that.
No, and quite honestly, they are lucky they got out of that game with a win. They truly are. I mean, a fraction of a second, and they don't have that touchdown. I mean, Myles Garrett got to his arm, and it's a blow. I actually think that if Myles didn't get to his arm, it may have been a throw out of the end zone. Because if you look at how much he altered it and where it wound up as a duck, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that was something that changed the impact of what that play would have looked like. But, yeah, they didn't do much in the running game, honestly. They controlled, and people have shown that if you blitz Baltimore, which I think Pittsburgh will do, I think that it's going to be a lower scoring game, and I don't like Jackson's price.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
So I definitely,
who's your value play?
I was going to say, I definitely know that me saying the over was because I thought we had a chance to sweep the quarterback position. I looked at three guys. I looked at Taylor Heinicke. He's playing tonight over my shoulder, so I haven't seen much of what he's done yet. I looked at DJ, Daniel Jones. But I wound up going up a little bit higher to, well, I shouldn't say a little higher, actually a little bit lower than Heinicke, a little higher than, actually a little bit lower than Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. Got my prices all messed up here. Tua Tagovailoa. I think I said his name wrong. Tua is my value.
Tagovailoa is what I've been hearing, yeah.
Yeah, I'll call him Tua. He's at home against the Giants. I think people will look at what the Giants did to the Eagles, and yeah, there's a chance that they're probably going to have Logan Ryan back. I'm sorry. This is in Miami. Tua's been playing well. The Giants aren't the best team against the pass. I like Tua as a value play at 5,500 and 6,900.
You know, I originally put down Tua Tagovailoa's name as my value play, and then I went and looked at things. Now, based on the numbers that Jalen Waddle has put up recently, I could have sworn that Tua was having some great statistical numbers too. But over his last two games, he's only thrown for about 460 yards, and he's got like three passing touchdowns over that of a two-game span. So he's not really lighting the world on fire. So it's kind of like, gee, where are all these numbers going? There's a lot of field goals being set up or something.
Well, I actually pivoted a little bit lower. I think his price should be a little bit more depressed, quite honestly, but it's not. He's at home, which I like. And the fact that Jalen Hurts had such a rough week this week against the Giants, I think that makes Tua's ownership level a little bit lower this week also because people tend to be influenced by the here and now. So that's just – when I wrap it all together, yeah, I looked at the, you know, Tyrod Taylors where you're looking for some, you know, garbage time stuff. And Daniel Jones, I don't like him going on the road in Miami as much as I would have liked to. I looked at, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's priced a little bit higher though. Derek Carr.
Well, I mean, I haven't thought about Derek Carr at home versus Washington as well. But I ultimately, you mentioned the guy that I sold on, which is Tyrod Taylor. I've actually been kind of riding him as a value play the last couple of weeks. Indy has allowed the most passing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks this season. Taylor hasn't actually thrown for very many yards since his return from the bye either. But he does have two touchdowns in each of the last two games, including a couple of rushing touchdowns in week 11. And unlike earlier this season when he turned the ball over quite a bit, he's only got one turnover in the last two games. So he's holding on to the ball, protecting it a little bit better. He's got some weapons to throw to there. Nico Collins has looked pretty good in the last couple games, and obviously Brandon Cooks is a true stud wide receiver wherever he ends up. At that price, $5,300 is just too nice. Of course, we were kind of tricked last week because yeah. Ben Roethlisberger's price looked way too nice, and he laid a complete goose egg.
The trap that we avoided, or at least that I avoided.
Yes. That was a trap last week, and it looks like it's going to be a trap this week, too.
Yeah. All right, who do you...
How is Ben Roethlisberger the second cheapest player ahead of only Justin Fields, who probably won't start?
And you know what?
Quarterback.
I glanced at him and said, nope, no thank you. It was just that easy.
After last week, again, it's Baltimore. Baltimore has not been the same team they were at the start of the season, obviously, against the pass, but... yeah, after last week, you can't count on those junk. I mean, well, maybe you can count on that garbage time, but I never really wanted to call Ben Roethlisberger for his performance.
I mean, I think that there's a better chance of that game being 6-9 than 38-45.
Exactly.
So, let's take a run on over to.
Well, I'll use that as a segue into my stay away at running back.
Okay.
I'm staying away from Najee Harris. Baltimore has allowed an average of 62 total yards per game to opposing number one running backs over the last 4 weeks. No scores to opposing number one running backs. The last lead back to score against them was way back in week 6.
Yeah. I'm not going to give my stay away yet. I'm going to let you go back and give your pay up first. How's that?
Okay. I'm going to pay up for the highest priced guy on the board this week, Jonathan Taylor. Indianapolis is at Houston. Taylor has 16 total scores over the last 9 games. This includes 2 against the Texans back in Week 6. He's actually faced Houston 3 times in his short career, and those games he's scored in each one of them at least once.
So I'm not paying up for Taylor. I can't fault you.
He's a little too much.
I can't fault you for paying up for Taylor, but I'm not paying up for Taylor, especially when I have a hard time deciding between who I like better, Austin Ekeler or Joe Mixon. Mixon's been white hot, right? So
yes.
And at, what is he? He's $8,100. He's the third highest running back on the board at DraftKings. I'm paying up for Joe Mixon. But
yeah.
But on FanDuel, Mr. Mixon is $9,400 and Austin Ekeler is $9,000. And I know there's a difference in the PPR part of it, but I'm going to pay up for Austin Ekeler there. So that way I get exposure to both these guys. And that's why I'm not paying up for Jonathan Taylor.
No, I have no problem with that. Actually, like both Ekeler and Mixon, I thought about that. A little concerned about the way that Cincinnati has played on defense against the run the last couple weeks. They've looked a lot better than they did earlier this season. And a little concerned about Eckler's lack of yardage numbers, particularly from a FanDuel standpoint where his price is over 9,000. You really got to count on him getting a lot of passes because it's only half PPR there.
Yep.
I like Mixon. I probably will do what I can to get both Taylor and Mixon into a lot of my lineups. but again, two there. I think that Mixon's going to probably be over-owned because he has 6 touchdowns in his last 3 games.
That's very possible. So, of course, the way my process works, the first name I wrote down as my stay away was Jonathan Taylor. But I had to cross him out because I'm not going to fault you for playing Taylor. Just, I'm not going to do it. So
it's a good matchup.
It is. So then I looked and I came and I looked at this guy and I went, well, Dalvin Cook's out. That's not a bad matchup, but man, it feels like one of those like pitfall type matchups. And I wrote Alexander Mattison down. And then I crossed Alexander Mattison off because
before going further, let me tell you something. I was going to use Alexander Mattison as my stay away until I looked at the fact that he's actually played as the featured as the lead back against the Lions in each of the last 2 games between Detroit and Minnesota, week 17 of last year and week 6 of this year. And those 2 games, he has nearly 270 combined yards and 4 touchdowns or something like that total. So it's like, maybe he will be this thing. Although I will be the first to say, I am a little concerned that Minnesota will use more of Kenny Anwangu, who is the rookie back that they drafted this year. He's been used a lot in special teams since he got off the early season injury bug, but I know the Vikings brass really, really like him a lot, and there's a good chance that the team won't be able to afford both Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison in the future. So Anwangu is going to be the handcuff in the very near future for one of those 2, depending on who they decide to keep.
Yeah, just I know the numbers are there. It feels like a trap game to me. And everybody,
it really does. I totally agree.
And everybody's going to own him. He's going to be in yep. I shouldn't say own. Everybody's going to have him in lineup.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone's going to want to put him in their lineup until they look at that FanDuel price of $8,700. I mean, again, he's an injury replacement. The algorithm doesn't work here. This is a glitch in the matrix. I mean, other injury replacements are in the $5,000 and $6,000 range.
Yep.
But no, they're facing Detroit and Delvin's out. So let's just put Alexander Mattison at $8,700. That's $300 cheaper than Austin Ekeler. Come on.
Yeah. So anyway, I keep the process going and we have a match. My stay away is Najee Harris.
Yeah, that was the one sure thing match I saw at the running back position. I didn't see any way that either one of us would want to play Najee. Who's your value play this week?
So my value play, I'm a cheat. That's all I can tell you. This guy's price is $2,000 apart, DraftKings versus FanDuel. And I really love the matchup. And he may seem risky, but at $4,600, I don't see how you don't take advantage of getting Boston Scott into your lineup on DraftKings.
Oh, God, I really wanted to use Boston Scott, and that's like I kept like breaking down all the reasons to play Boston Scott and to say Boston Scott here. Every time I did, I'm like, but it's the Eagles. We know they're going to completely dump on us by playing someone else at running back because we played Boston. Every single week I've chosen to play Boston Scott, he's done nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, this personal, just like reaching in and grabbing my heart out of my chest and showing it to me, evilness of Nick Sirianni.
Well, then you better be sitting down for part two of my value play.
Okay.
Which is Miles Sanders on FanDuel at 6,600.
He's the same even price. Worse. Even he's, worse.
I know. Trust me, I know. I don't know. I just...
What's really tough is I wanted to do it too, but I couldn't.
Yeah. I'm that guy. I did it. So...
I am also going to take an injury replacement, though, at value play this week for running back. He's a Raven listed as doubtful, DeAndre Swift. So take Jamal Williams at home versus Minnesota. Minnesota has multiple injuries on their front seven, and they may have lost Anthony Barr once again to an injury at the end of the game last week. That is very, very important. Williams also has done really well against Minnesota during his time as the backup with Green Bay, as well as earlier this year with Detroit. This week, Williams is going to get all the carries. He actually got 20 touches last week in relief. So not like playing an entire game, he didn't get 20 touches. He got 20 catches basically through two-thirds of the game. He's going to get more touches this week because, again, there's just not a lot of offense on Detroit to go through. Williams is capable as a pass catcher. He's capable running the ball. He's kind of a bulky guy, tough to bring down. And again, with the Vikings shorthanded on the defensive line and potentially at linebacker, I really like him this week.
No, I don't hate that play at all, honestly. I really don't, so I get it. At the wide receiver spot, let's make some hay. Who are you paying up for at the wide receiver spot?
We might match on the first two here, I think, at wide receiver.
Yeah, possible.
I'm going to make my wide receiver play match Justin Jefferson for back-to-back weeks, Minnesota at Detroit. As I said earlier, I think that this game is going to be more about the throwing of Kirk Cousins. Now, something I looked up, I was like, well, do I choose Justin Jefferson? Do I choose Adam Thielen?
Yeah.
Well, Adam Thielen has never done anything against Detroit for some weird reason. Now, I know a few of those years were against Darius Slay, but for his career, he's averaged only 3 catches and 40 yards per game against them. He's only got 2 career touchdowns. In 14 games played, that's not good percentage. And that's a large enough sample. That's nearly a full season's worth of games against them. Meanwhile, Jefferson, he's only faced them 3 times. He's averaging 6.3 catches and 107 yards a game against them. That's a sizable difference. That's more than double what Thielen's doing out on a game-by-game basis against Detroit for their careers.
So I did something we don't match. I did something that's a little out of the norm for me when there's a couple guys I like at the top, and I do like Justin Jefferson this week. I decided that Cooper Kupp and the Rams, they've got to get right. And while I didn't feel safe enough to use Matthew Stafford as a pay-up, and I stayed away from him in a sense, this at least gives me a little bit of exposure. They're going to run the ball. There's no doubt. But I think that the Rams need a get-right game and at home against Jacksonville. Stafford doesn't have to have a great game for a wide receiver to have a great game. Look to see Cooper Kupp involved early and often in this game.
I don't dislike that at all. Now, you might think that my stay away was going to be Adam Thielen. And you're right, I'm not going to play Adam Thielen. But I didn't want to make it that obvious. So the other player that I'm going to stay away from is Ja'Marr Chase. Cincinnati is facing their at-home versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Only one team has allowed fewer yards or receiving touchdowns to opposing wide receivers than the Chargers. They've also allowed the second fewest receptions to the wide receiver position. Now, Chase has 2 touchdowns over his last 4 games, but he's been in kind of a slump. Over those last 4 games, he's averaged only 4 catches and 38 yards receiving.
Yeah, so I did not write Ja'Marr Chase down as my stay away at first. I went to Terry McLaurin first and looked at him. Don't like the matchup on the road. He's, the 5th highest priced wide receiver on the board. But then I looked a little further down, and Ja'Marr Chase is right there with him. And I wrote down Chase, and that's who I settled on. So we have another match. But I also I really don't like Terry McLaurin's matchup much this week at all either.
Yeah, Vegas, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is not playing as good against the pass as they were at the start of the year, but they've been very, very, very good all season, including recently against number one wide receivers, of which Terry McLaurin is the clear number one in Washington. So, yeah, no reason to play him, no reason to play Thielen, no reason to play Chase. Debo's, like I said, probably going to be out. So you're looking at Kupp, you're looking at Jefferson, maybe Keenan Allen,
yep,
who I also don't love. But then it's like if you're not going to play one of those three big price guys, just keep going down the list. You'll find some good bargains coming up.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you can get both of them in and get all the Tom Brady. That's a serious Voltron stack. How's that?
I like it.
All right. So who
you put Waddle with your Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go. And I don't dislike him at all. Who do you have as your value play?
Oh, I'm going way down the board for my value play this week.
I talked about him
a little bit earlier.
I was going to say we might have had a match, but now I know we don't. So
I'm going to the San Francisco 49ers. They're traveling to Seattle. We're watching Seattle play right now, and we're watching passes thrown right and left against them. My play is Juwan Jennings. Jennings is going to see an uptick in both snaps and targets with Deebo Samuel likely out this week. He caught a touchdown last week, and he almost caught a second. Seattle, they've allowed the most passing yards per game, including tons and tons of yards to wide receivers. He won't get the attention that Brandon Ayuk will see. He obviously will also have George Kittle getting a few targets there, but Jennings is the guy who I think is going to be the biggest benefit, particularly in the red zone.
So I actually wrote two guys down, and one's a little more money than the other. So one's going to be a little more palatable to play. The other is going to be a little more dependent on if a receiver or two's out again.
I missed one too. There's one other guy I'm going to say, but I'll let you talk yours first.
Well, maybe it's the same guy. Who knows? So the first guy that I'm going to tell you is a guy that has underperformed all year long. He does not have a touchdown yet on the season. That changes this week. He had 7 targets last week. Didn't have a great game, but he had 7 targets. And that is Babytron. Give me Kenny Golladay as my value play this week. That said, you really, really need to get some extra salary in your lineup, and Galladay's too rich for you at, what is he? He's around $5,000, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go all the way down to, are you ready for it? John Ross. As long as both Kadarius and Sterling Shepard are out.
Well, there's one player we both missed, and I don't know how we missed this, because there's no excuse to not play him this week. If there was ever a reason to play him, it's in this game here. And it's based on his ridiculous career splits against this team. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. T.Y. Hilton going down to Houston. 4,400 on DraftKings, 5,700 on FanDuel. If there's ever been a player to own a team more than T.Y. Hilton owning the Texans, I don't know who it is. He is going to be in every one of my lineups this week.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That's a good one. He's probably, if you check the financial records, he's probably a minority owner of the Texans, because that is how much he beats them. Actually, not too far off from him on the list that you send me. I looked at both Khalif Raymond and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I couldn't make a decision on who I would pull the trigger on. You know what I mean?
Josh Reynolds.
Here you go, Josh Reynolds. Just spelled it differently. Same thing with him, though. But yeah, no, T.Y. is a great, great option to, you know.
I don't know how I missed him when I was going down my list here. I pretty much every year I just highlight the games ahead of time on the calendar when he's going to face Houston, particularly in Houston. And it's always just a taking to the shed.
Yeah, I don't know why. This week I think we see Kenny Golladay with a 6 for 80 plus and a touchdown this week.
Okay, well, sliding into the tight end position, I just mentioned really liking John Jennings. Well, I also really like George Kittle because Jennings is going to be a nice red zone target for San Francisco against Seattle. Well, so will George Kittle. And much like Jennings above, Kittle will see more targets because Debo's out. And as I said, Seattle's allowing a lot of passing yards per game. This includes to the tight end position. So give me Kittle at a sub $6,000 price on DraftKings any day of the week.
So we have a match. My process was Pitts was the first person I wrote down. I looked at Kittle and I went, man, he was his stat line was just bad this past week, and he really.
We told you though last week. We told you Minnesota. Yes, they shut him down.
We did, but you know it's like his price tag doesn't match his performance of late. And then I thought about it and I went, you know what? That means the ownership percentage is going to be low this week, I think. So I settled on Kittle also. But I like Kyle Pitts, but I did go back and settle for Kittle because Debo's out.
Yeah, and again, it was one of those weird Sundays where literally everyone that I tried to pick as a value play didn't come through, but everyone I told people to stay away from just completely S'd the bed. So I don't feel quite as bad about that.
All right, so this pick, your stay away, is going to decide if we wind up with a push. That's how confident I feel in my value play.
Okay, well, so I said it last week, and I'm going to rehash this again, the exact same notes from last week. Since the start of 2019, the Vikings have allowed only 5 total tight end touchdowns. They've allowed an average of 4 catches and an average of 46 yards to the tight end position over that span of 42 games. TJ Hockenson is firmly on my bench in regular leagues, and he is not going to see the light of day from a DFS standpoint for me this week.
No. He's like the 6th, 7th, 8th highest priced tight end on the board. That's not where you were supposed to go. I'm staying consistent in my dislike for this Baltimore Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers matchup this week. And while Mark Andrews had a phenomenal catch this past week, I don't want him at 6,000 and 7,300 in my lineup in a game where I think we could see single-digit scores from both teams.
The only reason I didn't go with him is because I thought that he might be the only player for Baltimore to score this week.
And he could be. He could go 4 for 55 with a touchdown and completely blow my prediction away. But even that, that's not
3 times. That's still just barely 2 times.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's just – and he's the highest priced. Waller, I'm not going to count because we're not sure if Waller's even going to play or not. So –
it's looking more and more like he isn't, but yes, I agree with you. I don't like Andrews, particularly not 7,300. But yeah, again, if anyone's going to score in that game, my thought process was that Andrews might be the only player to score in that game. So I'm like, I don't like him, but I'm just going
to
skip over.
See, to me, it feels like it's a Duvernay. Duvernay is the guy that scores the touchdown if a touchdown gets scored this week.
It's going to be like some kick return where he slides out off of someone because the ground is all muddy and wet or something like that.
No, it's going to be like because he was in a 4 or 5 wide receiver set and call a screen pass to him and he works his way through a bunch of muck and scores. I don't know. Just feeling I have. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I'm just going to say right now, there's no way we're not matching at our value play. There's no.
It's going to be a match. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's Ryan Griffin. It's a starting tight end versus Philadelphia. You know, no explanation needed. Just do it.
So, yes, that is who it is. But I wrote down another name first, so I feel kind of dirty because, I mean, it is Philadelphia, but it's also the Jets, right?
Yeah, yep.
Logan Thomas is a fantastic value play this week at $4,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, his – gorgeous playoff schedule starts this week against the Las Vegas Raiders of Anaheim.
Yeah. So the under hits, because I did have Ryan Griffin, even though I don't feel good about it. I agree with you. You go to the well till the well dries out, and Philly is the well that keeps on giving.
Well, and let's say you want to be different. Let's assume that everyone else at this point is following the process and choosing tight ends against Philadelphia. A couple $100 more expensive than him, you can roll out Foster Moreau with Darren Waller out. In the last game that Waller missed, Moreau actually played pretty well. So he's kind of an interesting pivot there too.
You can, but you can also look at it like this. Just because everybody else is going to be on him at $2,600, he gives you different options, and that's where you'll be able to differentiate your lineup anyway. So
I also like the guy right below Griffin in the price range, Brevin Jordan, who I played in a lot of lineups this weekend, up scoring a touchdown. He's got Indianapolis, and Indianapolis has been quite giving to the tight end position all year, too. So,
yeah, another guy doesn't have a great matchup, but I love the price, Donald Parham Jr.
I played him in a few lineups this week, too, figuring he was a nice counterpoint to some of my other players, sort of a correlation play. And he was kind of shut out for most of the game. In showdown or in captain-style games like you'll find on FanDuel and on DraftKings, I think he's a great play because, again, in those, his price tag is usually in like the $3,000 to $4,000 price range, which is really, really nice for when he does actually score a touchdown.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so that does it. We hit the under. I knew I didn't feel good about that five number. I was a little too cocky. We did need to hit some matches at the quarterback spot, or we would have went over, but we didn't, and that's what happened. So hopefully people find what we said helpful, and they win a little coin because of it to help pay for those expensive turkeys that they had to buy for this past week or something like that, or those Christmas gifts that are coming down the pike sooner than later. Anyway, give yourself a Christmas gift by following Harley on Twitter, at Nuclear Harley. You can follow me at Steve Gallo NFL. And, of course, you can always treat yourself to a Huddle subscription if you haven't already done that at the Huddle.
And they make a great Christmas gift for next year.
Absolutely, because it's a calendar year from when you sign up, right? So it's not just the rest of the season. So, anyway, that's what you have going. If not, ask for it. If you don't want to treat yourself, ask somebody to get it for you. And until next week, as always, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.